Consequence Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Lena from Infected Rain, and you're listening to Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence.
If you're a fan of progressive heavy metal music that is very modern and different and kind of experimental, then you have to check out Infected Rain. Lena Scissorhands is the front woman for this band, and I followed her on social media for a long time. She's just so cool. She has these awesome bright colored dreads, and she's always posting different stuff from touring in the recording studio, and she just has a really great vibe, and their music is killer. It's always on fire. They've got a new record out, Time, which kind of represents their journey as a band. This record from front to back is groovy and just delicious. It's heavy, but not so heavy and in your face that you miss the details of the music. It's a great set, and I'm very excited to talk with Lena about the new music, about her journey, and what are her thoughts on being a woman in music. Zane Erickson, and you're on Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence if you don't subscribe to the podcast yet. I'm mad at you. You have to do it right now. Just search for the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Hit subscribe, and it's really that easy. Always have great guests on here, and I love talking with these strong women in music about their experiences, not just being a woman, because we go way beyond that. Love to talk about the music industry in general, how it's changed over the years, and just their personal journey into music. All right, right after this, we're into it with Lena Scissorhands from Infected Rain.
As we wrap up 2024, the pop culture experts at Consequence are back with our annual report, celebrating the year's best in music and entertainment. And this time, we're bringing you something extra, a brand new podcast series exclusively on Amazon Music. Get inside access with interviews featuring the year's biggest artists, actors, and filmmakers, plus discussions with the Consequence team on our best of the year lists. And the best part, you can tune in with Amazon Music Unlimited, now free for 3 months. For a limited time, get 3 months of Amazon Music Unlimited free by visiting tryamazonmusic.com/COS. You'll get over 100 million songs in stunning HD sound, on demand and ad-free, plus top ad-free products, including the Consequence Annual Report podcast. Every Amazon Music Unlimited subscriber now gets one free audiobook from Audible each month. Celebrate the best of 2024 with Consequence's annual report all December at consequence.net. And don't miss the companion podcast by signing up for 3 free months of Amazon Music Unlimited at tryamazonmusic.com/COS or clicking the link in the show description. That's tryamazonmusic.com/COS.
Well, Lena, it's great to have you here on the show. First of all, I would love to get into your history in music. When did you first fall in love with music as a kid? And what was your first experience with music?
Thank you for having me. Very interesting way to start, because I talk about this forever, because I feel like I have so many interesting memories connected to music from my childhood that they are all unique and funny in their own way. But I will try to just, use a couple to explain my connection to music. Now, my both parents were dancers. They used to dance in this pretty big, famous at the time. They would often dance on stage with other singers, pop singers from my country. They would often go on small little tour around, I don't know, the close countries around Moldova. So it's pretty something like they were both passionate about. That's how they met. And they did it for a while. I mean, they both had jobs, but this is something that they really liked doing. Other than that, I don't have musicians in my family. I never grew up studying music or doing any musical schools, but I did love dancing a lot since I was a child. I remember, like, we would choose a song that we like, and me and my sisters. And being the oldest, I would teach them some moves. And whenever no one was home, we would have entire dances and an entire like choreography to a song. And eventually we would do it for like kindergarten like events. in front of like parents even. It was pretty funny. I even have some pictures from that. So I always in a way felt music, close to music, and it would deliver something to me, even if I had no idea what they're singing about, you know. Now, it wasn't necessarily right away alternative music. It was all kinds of music. And then eventually when we had MTV, and back in the day, it was a cool channel, not what we have now. It was such an amazing channel that put together such a big diversity of the different genre of music. And I was, for the first time, discovering different musicians and bands in completely different genres, not just the pop culture that and the pop music that was always, you know, pushed through media or TV, you know, or radio or whatever at the time, because there was no internet at the time. I'm that old. It feels that way.
Oh my God, you're so young.
I know. I mean, you know what I mean. You know, it feels right. Like I'm talking like a granny.
Back in the day, 10 years ago.
When I was young, MTV used to play Nirvana. Yeah, I loved it. I love Queen, Madonna, Michael Jackson, like way before I started listening to alternative music. I remember I was even like picked on and made fun of when like I used to just close my eyes and listen to a song, and people would like laugh about it often. Even like a member of my family, like a relative, not close member of my family, a relative once like really made fun of me when I was just doing that in my own house, because I closed my eyes and I remember enjoying a Michael Jackson song. Like that memory, I have it in my head. Imagine how ashamed I felt when this adult that is also a relative makes fun of me like that, you know. Like I thought maybe that's not how you do it, that's not what you do, that's not what music is for. And you know, it was pretty interesting.
Well, who's laughing now? Look at you, you're super successful. You can laugh at them now.
Funny, right, how life turns around. I don't see myself or look at myself as anything successful or famous or anything like that. I'm a human being and I have feelings, and no matter if I'm a child or a teenager or an adult, I will feel it, you know. Maybe there are people that don't feel that close to music and they don't feel that connection to music, but honestly, I think the majority of people on this planet do, and they find their own songs, their own artists that speak to them, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. Music really brings people together.
Yeah. I mean, I never planned to be a musician. I had a completely different career path. Eventually, all the things kind of led to that moment where friends asked me to hang out a rehearsal room and have fun with some cover songs and just sing for fun. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I felt very comfortable with the people I was surrounded. It was just two friends at the time that were doing something together, and they had a microphone, and I was just trying to sing something. I remember like it was all cover songs. It was all songs that existed. And I liked it. I liked the sensation and the adrenaline and the thing, this unspeakable and not unspeakable, but I don't even know how to call it. This thing in the air that the musicians share together in a rehearsal room is difficult to explain. So I liked that. But after a while, I became addicted to that. And we started taking things serious. And I started doing vocal lessons to improve. And I started writing my own things. And we started adding musicians. And here we are now. You know, that's pretty much my path.
Is that how Infected Rain started, with you guys just jamming out? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Just hanging out. Yeah, it was Vidic, his best friend, DJ Kappa, and they were just having this small little project of doing heavier electronic metal. And in the beginning, they were just taking songs that already existed and they were doing their own version. DJ Kappa was an actual DJ that loved doing music live and actually using turntables and everything, doing it live, not pre-recorded, like many DJs do nowadays. It was quite fascinating how many buttons he would like know to press in the right moment. It's really cool. Like, I'm sure we all remember bands from back in the day that started and had their DJs, like even Linkin Park and even Slipknot, with everything that they do electronically. Back in the day, the way they were doing it, and now it's totally different. And again, maybe those old school DJs, they are still doing it that way. You know, I don't know, because I don't know. But what I'm saying is the possibilities grow with the technology being different for everybody, every kind of musician, including DJs. So at the time, that's what he was doing, and that's what they were doing. So yeah, it was just for fun. But I remember DJ Kappa, he told me after a couple of rehearsals, he said, dude, you really have a voice. You should find a teacher that will teach you how to use that. And I don't know, it just planted a seed in my brain, and I was thinking for a while and I couldn't think about anything else until I found a teacher that highly recommended in the University of Music. She was doing private vocal lessons for a lot of children, and I remember calling her and trying my luck. She was pretty skeptical in the beginning because I was already like 23 at the time, and I had zero knowledge about music. And she said, it could be very challenging. It could be that I will not even have anything to work around. I will be honest with you. Just give me 3 lessons to decide. I was so nervous. Oh my God. But yeah, it ended up in a beautiful friendship, 3 years and a half of, I think, 3 to 4 times a week vocal lessons. That was my very first vocal teacher.
Wow, that's intense. I love the fact that you picked that up later in life too, and that she was open to working with you. That's really intense though, 3 to 4 days a week for that long.
Yes, I loved it because it was very rewarding for me, and I was so eager to learn. Oh my God, I had so much fun. We would often learn a few things and then sing together like some famous songs and in the classic music, right? And she would often like change the notes on the piano on me, but I had to stay in the same, with the same notes or in the same key. And like, she would teach me to improvise, but without forgetting about the key. She would teach me to breathe. It was so much fun for me. It was a challenge that I was having fun with. And I would go before work. I would go on my days off. Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, well, congrats on your new record, Time with Infected
Thank you.
Rain. Yeah, it is awesome. I love it. It's just like this great work of progressive heavy metal and other genres in there. So tell me how the record kind of represents your journey as a band up to this point.
I think it's very simple in this case because it's our album number 6. And we somehow had a very big change after our 5th album, a change that was long coming. Unfortunately, you know, we all procrastinate with certain things, and we all try second chances, third chances, and all that. We all try many things before we commit to something that we already know it was coming. And I talk about a change in our lineup. The change in our lineup was long coming, and not many people know about that. Not necessarily long coming from a specific person or from us that stayed in a band, kind of both ways. We kind of, life brought us to a point in where it was very obvious for both parties that we need to move on a little bit separately, because just the goals in life are a little bit different, and what we want to do with this project are where it was quite different, and this had to happen. Now, we are insanely grateful for the 2 brothers that were in the band before, the previous guitar player and the bass player, and for everything they did and for all their time and dedication for the band. But with this chapter being closed, or let's say with the chapter being finalized in a way, because you never close really your past. You embrace it and you accept it and you love it for whatever it is. And that's what we do. You know, we appreciate everything that was done previously, and it led us to who we are now. So somehow we had to summarize those 5 albums together, those 5 albums of, you know, Infected Rain, with this new album, which literally it's called Time, and it is about time. No playing with words or double meaning there. We want it to be as blank as that with this album. And also a beautiful beginning with a beautiful addition to the band, Alice, which is our bass player, with hopefully a new chapter in the band, because we also started working with new team members. So there's so many people behind the curtains that we love and appreciate for every little and big thing they do for the band. And there are more people than you guys think. And now with this year, 2024, especially, the team is even bigger. So I think with this album and it being released in almost beginning of the year, we want to show and bring to people what we are and what time did to us, or what time helped us become, in a way, hopefully wiser as humans, hopefully more interesting and better as musicians, and hopefully, you know, so many hopefully. So we'll see. So far, we released 4 music videos for 4 different songs of the album, and the reaction of people is beautiful. It's incredible. It's even better than we expected. So we can't wait to finally present this to people. It's now in a couple of weeks, to be honest. So it's very soon.
One of my favorite tracks off it is Dying Light. It's just very groovy, and I don't know, I just love it. So can you kind of take me inside that track and how it came about, the story behind it?
Yeah, Dying Light is very special because it was our first single from this album that we presented to people, but it was also the first single that we presented Alice with. Alice joined relatively not too long before we already planned to give people the first single. Alice did not participate in any composing of Time. She, however, did physically record bass for some of the songs, because just the timing, it was a little bit off. Basically, we already were working on that when we finally made our choice out of the handful of bass players we were trying at the time. So how to say, it was very emotional and challenging for us, because we did not know what to expect from people. Because with the release of this song, we presented Alice and told the world about the change in the lineup. We did not want to give this to information to people separately. We did it on purpose in the same day for this specific reason, to prove and show to people that doesn't mean changing the band, that doesn't mean changing the style, and we are still strong with our beliefs, with our hard work, and it's still Infected Rain. Because not many people know about that, but specifically when it comes to composing the music, it was always mainly Vidic, the founder of the band, our guitar player. And, you know, he is talented like that. He has so many ideas that he has always been the main idea bringer, the main composer. Hell, he does almost all the visuals for the band as well. He is very talented and very dedicated, hardworking person. He's a workaholic, honestly. It was like that even before. So really not much has changed when it comes to composing. Of course, a lot changed when it comes to visuals and certain other aspects. But when it comes to composing, not much has changed. So we wanted to show that to people. Now, of course, Dying Light is very interesting because he's picking up 8-string guitar with that. Not on purpose, not because he decided that he wants to go heavier, not because he decided that he wants to change the style. Nothing like that. Just the energy and the emotion that we wanted to deliver through that song called for it. And there was actually a version in 7-string guitar and an 8, and we kind of voted the 8 in. And there are, I think with this album, half of the songs are recorded on 8-string guitar, which gives it a completely different tune of the entire song, of course. And the other half is seven string guitar. He is probably going to fluctuate and have fun with both in the future, because why not, right? But yeah, Dying Light also, not necessarily on purpose, somehow became the first and the best, you know, how you say it, like, visit card for the album, because it is one of the songs that mainly speaks about time, and mainly, specifically, I'm sorry, mainly speaks about time, and specifically brings up the theme of aging and how people take that, how often people try to escape that or go around that without really realizing that every age, every level of our life comes with its own beauty. So that doesn't say anything about, I don't want to make examples, but I felt that at this time in my own life, where I am closer to 40 than 30, let's say that, right? I feel like, and my friends are around the same age, give or take. I see how much it bothers people and how much it makes people sad, aging. I never thought about it that way. Not because I'm perfect. I have my own bugs in other, you know, in other, in how to say it, my own skeletons in other closets. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I never thought about aging being a problem when it comes to anything. Aging should come with its advantages of being more wise only, you know. Anyways, somehow it inspired me to present it through this song.
I think that's a great point. I totally agree. I think that for me as a kid, even I remember hearing about people turning 40 and it was called "You're Over the Hill."
Oh,
that
yeah.
Was what they said, you know, and I agree that. Now, do you think that women have a harder time with aging than men, like mentally?
Not in my experience.
Oh, wow.
Probably with certain aesthetics, women tend to be more justified to do so, to think so or whatever, probably. But again, that's, I don't know, in my own life experience, I see that with, you know, some of my band members, sometimes the way, you know, they speak about things. I see it with my friends, I see it with my family, you know. And it's not necessarily, you don't necessarily need to hear them say, oh, I'm old or I'm too old for this or something. But you can tell that certain aspects of their age, they did not accept yet. They don't want to accept, or they don't, I don't know, or they are shy about, men and women. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah, and what's next for Infected Rain this year? Of course, the album out. Tell me about touring plans and anything else you have going on.
Yeah, we start 2024 with a very cool festival. Actually starts next week. Next week. I'm looking at my calendar right now. It's next to me. My flight is on Sunday. I fly to Miami and meet up with all my band because we are going on a cruise, a metal cruise. It's so cool. We've never been. We are going to perform twice on this festival called 70,000 Tons of Metal. And we will be performing along a lot of amazing, talented bands. And it's going to be a great hangout with fans as well. You know, everybody on the same boat. I think it's going to be great. Right after that, a couple of weeks after, we fly to Europe to join Dragon Force and Amaranth for a European tour. And then we are patiently waiting for June, because in June we are starting our summer run with all the festivals and all the awesome outdoors events. For fall, we are still working on bringing something really awesome to our fans and listeners. We have several ideas. For now, I can't disclose any, but I'm preparing you for a very busy year for sure.
When you first got into music, did you feel like there was any pushback because you were a woman in music, or did you feel pretty accepted from the start?
I felt pushed aside for many reasons when I started. Now, I cannot answer this question specifically with the aspect of what you ask about w women in general in metal, because I want to remind everybody, guys, just like women don't know how it feels to be guys in an industry, men don't know how to feel women in an industry. So what I'm trying to say with that, I don't know what to compare it with. A, I've never been in a different band before. B, I've never been a man before. So I don't know if the attitude or the opportunities would have been different. I have no idea. It's only something we can guess. But I am choosing not to guess because I believe in the global acceptance of people, especially when it comes to metal. I want to still believe in that. And even if I've had an unpleasant situation, and I think it's because I'm a woman, I get reminded that shit like that happens even to other male vocalists on stage. It happened in front of me many times. It happened me watching certain interviews and hearing male vocalists say the same thing. So I really don't know that. I mean, yes, I felt like often like it was unfairly said to me, like, oh, this band sucks. People are only listening to it because there's a decent looking woman or whatever, just because they're curious of her. Or I've heard vice versa. Oh my God, get rid of that ugly, untalented girl and get a serious vocalist if you want to succeed. Like I've heard it all, I've heard that I don't look metal enough, but that I don't look young, that I'm not young enough for this industry, that I'm not like, I don't know, skinny enough, fit enough, fat enough. I don't know everything. I've heard it all. And you know what? I don't think it's because I'm a woman. I think it's because there is a lot of hatred in people and they sometimes don't know where to put it. And I'm sure 100% that my colleagues, especially in this industry, male vocalists, get the same shit, especially in the beginning when you're probably still learning and people don't give you even the benefit of doubt that, hey, I heard this chick never sing before. I heard this is her first band. Maybe wait a little until I learn some stuff. I don't know. Maybe, or maybe, yes, just don't listen to us if you don't like it. Every band will have their own fans. I don't need fake fans that are there just to see the vocalist, how she looks or he looks. No, that's not why we are doing this. Yes, I put a lot of emphasis and a lot of effort into how I look, but it came before the band. I used to be a hair makeup artist for 12 years. I worked in the beauty industry way before I became this so-called public figure. Way before. And that's why the beauty of it, I cared for that because I started modeling at 19, which is like 4 years before I joined the band even. So all these things together, people don't think about it. They all think that I dress this way or look this way just for the image of the band. No, I look like that every day. You can see me walking the streets or something. I will still look me with the same hair color, same hair, same tattoos, and probably even sometimes wearing something cooler than on stage. I don't know. It's all, I don't think about, I try not to think about those things if possible, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I love it. Do you feel like maybe this question you can answer? Do you feel like there are more women in metal music today versus when you started out?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think that in general, there are more women in any kind of jobs now than before. Hell, let's think about the 20s and the 30s when women didn't have at all right to put pants on and work in an office. The only jobs they could dream about is being secretaries. There were no women doctors. There were no women in any other industries. So please, do not emphasize the fact that metal finally accepts women. No, it's not like that. It's everywhere. We are not different. Metal is unique with for its own things, but it's not because of that. I think it's more women now than before in metal, absolutely, but just like in any other jobs.
I would love to hear your advice for women who want to get into music, or men, just, you know, in general, your advice and how to inspire people who really have a heart for this and want to do it for a living like you.
Yes, I actually do have a message for whoever you are out there, male or female, whatever your age is, whatever your ethnicity is, whatever your country where you start the band or where you live is. Don't let these stereotypes and these so-called, I don't know, problems, like people think they're problems, be in your way. Don't let it, because if you are here for the art, if you are here for the love of music, then be yourself, be sincere, put in some hard work, and you will succeed sooner or later, because hard work is noticed sooner or later in whatever country. I come from a such a small country of Eastern Europe that some people don't even know exists. I have come from such a small country that has so little, no, that has zero opportunities for art in general, let alone alternative musicians or metalheads that, you know, are never taken serious. Nothing will work in your advantage if you don't believe in yourself and if you are not stubborn and hardworking. That's all it takes. Then invest in good equipment, invest in maybe even your first vehicle to go to the next country that borders with you, spread the word about your music. But nowadays, with internet being out there, it helps us use all of that to work in your advantage. Use it.
The amazing Lena Scissorhands, thanks for being an awesome guest on the show. I loved how much passion she had in her voice, just as she talked about every aspect of music. And she talked about early on where the family member kind of made fun of how she was dancing or singing along or whatever. I think that's really a crucial thing, because I think that everyone in life, whether it's in music or not, you've had that moment where someone has been like, ha, made fun of you, or said you couldn't do something. And I feel like that was that moment for her. It's very relatable. And I love seeing how successful she is now, which I know she doesn't want to say she's successful, but Infected Rain, just one of the hottest newer metal bands out there. And great conversation with her. Make sure to check out their new record, Time, which is their sixth record. I still can't believe they actually have six out, because there are some bands who've been around a lot longer than them who don't have six studio albums out, but just shows how creative they are and how hard they are working in the music industry. It's Ann Erickson, and you're on Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence. As always, great to rock with you. And if you don't subscribe yet, just a reminder to search for the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe. And if you're on Apple Podcast, please leave a 5-star review. It definitely helps. And we love having you here, love having you be part of the show. Until next time, keep rocking.